Our Bible reading today is from the New Testament, from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. If you have a church Bible, it can be found on page 741. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well."
I sat down this week to consider what it is that I am thankful for. I thought that would be a good thing to do. With Thanksgiving Sunday coming up. So I just got my pen and paper and just started writing it down one after the other. And I thought I'd just let the pen flow. And if I paused, then that's when I would stop. So very quickly, within a couple of minutes, I had a list of 26 things that I was thankful for. I then paused for a few minutes, so I stopped. Now, there were obvious things on the list, like God and family. But there were also other things that I just maybe take for granted and don't actually give thanks for, like the home that I have to live in, people praying for me, caramel slice, things like that. And then maybe some unexpected things as well. The diocese, that made the list. 21, that was ahead of caramel slice. So we do have so much to be thankful for. And if I kept going, and if you did this, I'm sure you could get probably hundreds of things that we could be thankful for. But it can be easy, can't it, just to go by week after week and not be thankful and just take what we have for granted. We can forget how good we have it or not be thankful, whether it's just the little things or the big things in life. So what I want us to see this morning from this part of God's Word, I want us to see that to be thankful is an act of worship. One of the ways that we can worship God is by expressing our thankfulness to Him. Now, we see this in this encounter that Jesus has with the 10 lepers. It's quite a simple story that these 10 men are healed, but only one returns to thank Jesus. But we're going to go through it and have a look at it. And there's a lot more happening in this story, which we're going to see. So it'd be great if you've got your Bibles open and you can follow on. Luke chapter 17 from verse 11. Now, the first thing we see here, that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Now, that is, he's on his way to his death. Back in chapter 9, it says that Jesus resolutely set out to Jerusalem. That means he's headed for his death. He knows when he gets to Jerusalem, he is going to be crucified there on the cross. And he's traveling along the border of Galilee and Samaria. Now, you know what borders can be like. Think of the trouble around the world today along certain borders, the walls, the racial tensions that can exist. They're along the border here. We've got 10 men with leprosy or some kind of skin disease, which meant that according to Jewish law, they were unclean and they had to keep their distance from people. They were outcasts. So reading earlier on in the Bible from Leviticus, It speaks there of a person with a skin disease, with an infectious disease. They had to tear their clothes. Their hair would have to be unkempt, and they would have to cry out, "Unclean, unclean." Imagine how humiliating that would be. Like, to have a disease would be bad enough, but then to tell everyone that you're unclean and you've got to keep a distance, how bad that would be. And then if they were healed when that disease was gone, then they would have to go to the priest, and the priest would then declare them clean, and they could go back to being part of the people. So these 10 men here, they stand at a distance as they must. They see Jesus, they call out to Jesus. Now it doesn't say here that they call out unclean. What is it that they say? They say, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." They're crying out to Jesus for mercy. Now maybe that heard about the wonderful things that Jesus had done in healing other people. Maybe they believed that he was the Son of God. Maybe they saw in Jesus hope for them to be healed. Well, Jesus does speak to them, and Jesus offers them hope. In verse 14, he says to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." So Jesus is following the law here, and they go, which is interesting, because there's no point in them going to the priest if they haven't been healed. But they go, so maybe they believe that as they go, that Jesus will heal them. And that is exactly what happens. As they go, they are healed. And what happens next? One of them returns to give thanks. Now, I think I've always read this passage wrong. I think I've read it that all 10 are healed. All 10 then go to the priest to be declared clean. And then one returns to Jesus to give thanks. But I don't think that's right. I think what is happening here is that as they go, they notice that they are healed. 9 of them keep going to maybe Jerusalem. They go to the priest to be declared clean. But one of them doesn't. One of them, instead of going to the priest, one of them just goes straight back to Jesus and give thanks to him. Verse 15 says, "One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice." So in a loud voice, he's praising God. Just minutes earlier, in a loud voice, he was crying out to Jesus for mercy, for healing. And maybe minutes before that, he was crying out to others, calling out, "Unclean, unclean." And see what he does next in verse 16. Now healed, now clean, there's no distance between him and Jesus. Have a look, what does he do? He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. It's literally, he fell on his face at Jesus' feet. This is a genuine, heartfelt thankfulness that this man has to Jesus. And this is where we see worship and thankfulness coming together. So do you see that in these verses? In verse 15, he's worshiping God, praising God. And then in verse 16, he's falling on his face at Jesus' feet. That's a sign of worship, isn't it? To fall on your face at someone's feet is a sign of worship. This man is worshiping Jesus as you would worship God. And he does so by thanking him. It's genuine, heartfelt thankfulness for what Jesus has done in healing him, making him better again. And then note what it says at the end of verse 16. What does it say there? And he was a Samaritan. He was a Samaritan. Now, a Samaritan meant he wasn't a Jew. He was part Jew and part Gentile. So this man really didn't fit in. A bit of a racial mix on the outer. So not only is he on the outer because of the skin disease he has, but for being a Samaritan, he's also on the outer. And what does Jesus call him in verse 18? Luke, as he writes, it says that he is a foreigner. That's how Jesus describes him. So I'm thinking it'd be very hard for this man to go to, if it was Jerusalem, to go and see the priest. And if it is in Jerusalem, then this man couldn't enter the temple like the other men could do so. And you might be familiar in John's Gospel and in John chapter 4. Jesus is there and he speaks to the woman at the well who is a Samaritan. And the Samaritans and the Jews, they didn't agree. They disputed where was the place to worship God. What does this Samaritan do? He worships Jesus. He worships Jesus. He throws himself at Jesus' feet as if he's worshiping God. Right, while the other nine continue on their way, they're probably still, I don't know how long it was going to take them, they're on their way. This man, he just goes straight to Jesus and he worships him. He's thankful. Right, Jesus is the ultimate priest. While the others go to the priest, Jesus is right here and he is the ultimate priest. He is the mediator between God and us. And what does Jesus do? Jesus declares him clean. Jesus does what the priest does in declaring him clean. You see that in verse 19? Then Jesus said to him, rise and go, your faith has made you well. Which could be taken, your faith has healed you or your faith has saved you. For this man, his healing is more than just physical. His body and soul are made well. His faith is different from the other nine. His faith is not just believing that Jesus can heal, but recognizing who Jesus is and worshiping him, thanking him. That's key for what this man does. He recognizes who Jesus is. He's there worshiping Jesus. And Jesus declares him clean. And this man has genuine heartfelt thankfulness for the mercy that Jesus has had upon him. Now, it makes me think, do I have this genuine heartfelt thankfulness? Worshiping God, worshiping Jesus in just total thankfulness. Or the longer that I'm a Christian, do I just take it for granted? The more I take for granted the mercy that God, that Jesus has had upon me. Which is easy to do, isn't it? And I think that's why it's one of the really important things and reasons why we want to read God's word every day. Because in the scriptures we are reminded of God's goodness and his grace, and we can keep coming back to what God has done for us and being thankful every day as we read his word. Seeing what he's done for us, that we are so undeserving. But the good news of the gospel is that he has grace upon us, and he enables us to have relationship with God, even though we do nothing to deserve that. We see it with Carol Ann. We see her joy and her thankfulness in her life for the Lord, for his work in her life. She knows the Lord is with her. She knows the grace that God has had upon her in sending Jesus, in Jesus being her Lord and her Saviour. A true understanding of Jesus will make us thankful to him. We see it with the Samaritan. May it be the response of all of us. Well, what can it look like? What can it look like for us? I think it can have to do with distance. We see in this story distance. For the Samaritan and all the others with the skin disease, there was a distance, but then they cried out for mercy. They received mercy, and then that distance disappeared. The Samaritan is then at Jesus' feet, worshipping him, no longer standing at a distance. Jesus has broken that down and done away with that distance. May we so know the mercy of Jesus upon us that there's a real closeness in relationship between you and knowing God as your Father through Jesus. Now, how can we express this? I've got three ways. I'm sure there's more. But firstly, prayer. Coming to God, our Father, through Jesus, and talking to him, praising him, thanking him, and just letting him know our feelings and what's going on in our life. Last year, you might remember, we looked at how in prayer, the awe of God and intimacy of God come together in prayer. Jesus brings us to God so that in prayer we can experience this closeness of relationship. Last week I heard a businessman talking amongst a group. He was, like myself, addressing them out the front. And then his phone started ringing. That's pretty rude. He's giving a talk and his phone rang. And he didn't apologize, which I thought, that was a little bit strange. But he said, oh, that's my daughter. His children and his wife have access to him whenever they want it. So for anyone else who was to ring, we wouldn't have heard it. But his family, they can ring whenever they like. That's like us and God. If you're believing in Jesus, you have access to God the Father whenever you like it. The question is, are we making use of that access? Are we talking to him whenever we like? Jesus has brought us close to God, and through prayer we can experience that. Well, secondly, thankfulness. Now, the last few weeks, been talking about this and been encouraging us in our homes and where we are at the end of the day to share one thing that you are thankful for from that day. By sharing it, that's a good way for us to remember God's goodness to us. So I don't know if you've been giving that a go around the dinner table, just sharing one thing that you are thankful for from the day and then maybe praying about that thing. If not, I encourage you to do that. And then thirdly, this is the last one, and this is something that we can do today, and we're going to do it in a moment, is a thanksgiving offering. This is something that we do as a church once a year as an expression of thankfulness for what God has done for us and given us through Jesus, but every day, the multiple blessings that we have. We have an opportunity in this offering to give to him. So we'll speak about that in just a moment. And we know too, a number of people have been giving as well to things like a wish for Emily with the GoFundMe. How about I pray, give thanks to God, and we'll talk a little bit more about the Thanksgiving offering. Our Heavenly Father, you do bless us so much. So we are thankful to you for everything that we have. Father, we want to thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you sent him into this world. Thank you for the life that he lived. Thank you that he was obedient to death on the cross, and that there our sins are forgiven, that he takes it upon himself. Father, thank you that you raised him up to new life. Father, thank you that we can have new life in Jesus. And Father, help us to live that life. Father, help us to be a thankful people for the many, many blessings that you give us, that we would see that they come from you, and that we would be truly thankful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so in a moment we're going to come to our final song, and during this song, we're going to have a box out the front. And if you would like to give by way of this Thanksgiving offering, then we invite you to do that. These envelopes were handed out last week, so hopefully you received one and have been able to think about it. I don't know if there are any left, but there are some spare envelopes on the table as well, or you can just drop it in. It mentions three things that you can give towards. One is catch-up, one is special ministry, and one is scripture in our schools. The catch-up is just maybe you know that your giving this year has lapsed, or you've missed giving on occasion. This is a way that we can give towards that. I can let you know for up until the end of May, our giving is a little bit behind on budget. So for the first 5 months, we're 4,750 behind. So that could be something that you want to give to. It's really important for us too, as a church and as we move to be independent, that we do cover all the costs for running our church. So I do encourage you to be giving regularly. The second one is for a special ministry offering, so for extra projects, extra things that we would like to do. Things like we're looking at getting a new projector, so that amount would go towards projects like that. The last one is scripture in schools. It's such a blessing that we can go into all the schools around us every week and share the good news of Jesus with them. So there's a special fund that you can give towards for that. That one is tax deductible, and just include your details there so that you can then be given what you need to for that tax deductibility. So I'll just give you a moment to do what you need to. The musicians will come on up, and then throughout this song, I'll put a box out the front, and if you would like to drop this in the box, then you can do that. There's online giving and credit card details. If you want to take it away and think about it during the week and do it online, that's fine. You can do that. The reference is, if you're online, is ST for Stanhope, and then thanks. Whatever you like.